testuči, tak je činem kýtve slovanky, volá tenče som je do vaše.
So first of all, begin by adjusting your motivation and thinking that you're here in this location to receive the most profound Mahayana teachings with the ultimate aim of reaching the state of enlightenment for the sake of all Mother sentient beings. With this thought, please adjust your motivation for listening. We continue with the next verse, which is verse 229. It is refuting that a permanent self is the cause of entering and leaving cyclic existence. And it reads, from one rebirth to another, the person changes like the body. It is illogical for yours to be separate from the body and permanent. All right, so here this verse again is a response to non-Buddhist groups that believe that there is a self and that self is permanent. And the reason why they say there is such a permanent self, we must posit such a self, is because otherwise we wouldn't be able to talk about someone who enter samsara and someone who exits from samsara. So they say if there was no permanent self, who would be that would cycle within cyclic existence, having accumulated contaminated karma, either positive or negative? And who would be who would achieve the state of liberation, putting a lot of effort in the path that leads to liberation? If there's no permanent self there, who would be doing those things? Now, you might think that this verse is not so much relevant to you because you say, you know, I don't have any thoughts about who enters and who exits samsara. However, the truth is that we all harbor this idea of a permanent self. We do grasp at ourselves as permanent and we keep thinking, you know, myself, I must be permanent because, you know, there was I was there when I was young, then I entered school, all these years through school, then I graduated from school up to here. So if myself is not permanent, who did all those things? So that's the verse is the response to this attitude.
Yeah,
So the first two lines of the verse says, from one rebirth to another, the person changes like the body. So we begin by saying that the self or the person actually changes. It says here, from one rebirth to another, because as we go, as we cycle within cyclic existence, we go from one rebirth to the other. So there's a series of rebirths. There are many rebirths. So during the different rebirths, we notice that there is a change of body. So let's say in this life you have the body of a human, then you get a body of a god, then you get the body of an animal, and so on and so forth. In every life, a different body. But because the self is associated with the body, there is a relationship between the self and the body. As the body changes from one life to the other, the self also changes. And this is why we say, now this person is a human. Then in the next rebirth, we say this person is a god. Then in the next one, this person is an animal. And we say that because the body changes from the human body to the body of the god to the body of an animal. So taking into consideration the first two lines, we say, therefore it is illogical for yours to be separate from the body and permanent. So we say it doesn't make any sense, it is illogical that yours, what is yours, yourself or the person, right? So we are addressing here someone who is a non-Buddhist, and we say, you know, you posit the self or the person in a particular way, but it doesn't make sense, this self or this person that you posit, because you posit a self that is separate from the body. Separate from the body here means other than the aggregates, or being a substance that is different from that of the aggregates, right? And we say, you know, it doesn't make sense. The self and the body are related, and when one changes, the other also has to be to change. But you posit this idea of the self that is other than the aggregates. So you say the aggregates change, but the self doesn't change.
Mm. 같은 동안 남겨서 온다. 내 공부 해줘야 된다. 나는 신 비행기 겨워서 들을 수 있는 건 나 얼마나 탈 거고 있어. 그래서 출이 좋아하는 자가 재미 되지. 공부 신이 개대 가자. 개대 공부는 신 개대 공부는 나 대신 이렇게 나가리나. 아니 공부는 신이 해줘 먹고 이거 도와준다. 그 해줘 주는 먹고 이거 도중에 나 얼마나 탈 거고 있어. 타원 주단 대신 이렇게 되는 근데 이거 굉장히 뭐.
Right, so the position of the opponent, which is non-Buddhist groups, is that there is a self that is completely unrelated from the aggregates. So when we say other than the aggregates, it means completely unrelated, as if they are different entities. And this is where the idea that there is a self completely unrelated from the aggregates that sort of like controls the aggregates, because it's other, it's separate. So not connected at all, not having the same substance. That's the idea that they have. But if we follow that, you know, this is completely illogical. If you say that there is completely no connection, no relationship between the self and the aggregates. Also, in the Root of Wisdom of Master Nagarjuna, there is a verse that is very similar to this, where he says, if we're going to accept that the self is completely unrelated from the aggregates, then all the characteristics of the aggregates also would go to waste or become non-existent. So here, when he's talking about the characteristics of the aggregates, we're talking about characteristics of being produced, of being impermanent, of coming about through causes and conditions. So these are the characteristics of the impermanent phenomena of the aggregates,
but is it?
Yeah. So then those things, you know, they become unrelated, would not find any of those things in the self. So the thing is that we all have this idea, we have this concept that somehow ourself is connected to our own aggregates. So in everyday language, you say, for example, when a part of your body is aching, right, you say, I am ill, I am in pain. Why are you in pain? When, let's say, there is some pain or some ache in your leg or your arm. It's the arm that is in pain, but we say, I am in pain. Or, for example, we say, I am young. Well, you say, I am young in relation to your aggregates, to your body, that is a useful body. Or then you say, I am old. Again, you are referring to characteristics of the aggregates. The body is old, and you identify with that, and you say, I am old. The next one, verse 230, is refuting that permanent self as being the activator of the body. And it says, intangible things do not produce so-called motility. Thus, the life force is not agent of the body's movements.
That's 제대 다음에나 다 잡고 되면은 따라가니 유마비 자와로 구워보 구시 내대스 아니 유기 요한다 땅공나 소고 땅만 공만 소고 미추나스 다 다음에는 구워보 잡아보 간다 원 구워보 때가 유마 다 원 구워보 미루스고 유기 요한다 땅공나 소고 내가 주나 소고 주나 아니 때나 신다 구제 대신다 신다가 신다 부어진에 양마 강한 소 구제 단계이다 대신 나신다 대신 신다 다음 때는 그런 대신이 접어 볼 대신이 신다 거 구어진에 대 시순 두루와 모든 대신 아니 류 다 용암이가 구제 난이 접어 볼니 다 기우시 요레스 다 간다 다 그 제가 지르고 두고 와라
Okay, so first of all, let's look at the assertion of the opponent, which is non-Buddhist. They believe in the existence of a permanent self because they say if there was no such permanent self, then there will be no one to actually control the body. And by controlling the body there, they mean there will be no one to instigate or initiate any movement in the body. So in other words, they say if you negate the idea of a permanent self, then there will be no one to cause the body to stretch or to flex the muscles or to move and so forth. So the body would not move at all. So they say it is the case that the self is other than the aggregates, unrelated, just like, they say here, just like Devadatta and his chariot. So Devadatta is the name of a person. You can use any name of any person. And instead of the chariot here, you can think of the car. So they say if there's no driver, no one is going to move the car. The car is not going to start moving on its own. So this is their argument.
I guess I was just saying there are driverless cars these days.
Driverless, but the computer, they were
the control.
The control.
That's true. Thank you.
Tamilita, Shindanita, Shinda Sedi, Rexada Demo, Kone Kuo Jigis. Shinda Sedi, Rexada Demo. Shinda Rexada Demo Kona, and Kuo Jigis. Rexada Midemba, the Kuo Jigis. Tugi, Dala, Rexada Never Killing Grass. Dala, Rexada Never Killing Yenza, Dala, Rexada Never Killing Water, and Lizzie, Kuo Bullishing my scar.
Okay, our response to that is that their position doesn't make any sense because we say this, you bring up this example of the chariot or the car or whatever, but that chariot or the car is something which is tangible, something solid. And you cannot move something which is tangible unless you yourself is also tangible. But the self that they proclaim, this permanent self that they believe in, is something which is intangible. So we say the thing that is intangible cannot be the motivator or the one who controls and sets in motion something which is tangible.
अरे जब सावन में ना मोबो मोबो चीज़ इसको ता अन्य अन्य कुवाशी जन की देश ता मोबो शिन अन्य कुवाशी जन की देश मोबो शिन ता तो योग अन्य गुरुले अन्य चिमान समझे देश योग अन्य गुरुले समझे देश हाँ यूनिवर्सल टीचर टीचर लुग योग अलास टीचर ता लुग ता सुपुल सुपुल योग योग अलास अत सोसे दाल सो दाल
So let's look now at our response. We say intangible things do not produce so-called motility. So the intangible thing is this self that they talk about, this idea of the permanent and intangible self. So we say intangible things do not produce so-called motility. Motility such as any type of movement, right? They cannot cause anything to move. And thus, therefore, the life force, so now we're using a different term, but life force here refers to the self. Okay, so thus the self is not the agent of the body's movement. Why? Because the self that you believe in is completely intangible.
Excuse me, I'm a little bit confused about that, because if because we're, as Buddhists, we're refuting permanency. That's the main aim.
Yes.
However, the mind or the the consciousness, which is formless, is making the body move, which is tangible. That's my understanding.
Yeah. So here, movement, you are talking about the actual movement, you know. So the motivation, you're concerned, motivation is concerned. It's like a motivation.
It's just formless.
Yeah, formless. Yeah. But here, now we need to differentiate. Here we are debating or arguing what their position. So they believe their position was untangible. Untangible.
Intangible.
Intangible.
Yeah.
So you, because of you believe intangible itself. So also at the same time you believe the self also has a power to movement or other things. So this is a contradiction to them. For us, of course, as you mentioned, the mind, usually we call Luda Madi Dada, Sen Yogodoba, Sen Kugoba, Sen Dishes, get a dish. Gimu dish or Gimu Zuma, get a dish. Get a tumble shake, get a mummy shake, get a somewhat similar, and that queen, and you want to show them different. Go up with the same, that you belong to.
Yes, our position, you know, as you described, is that actually the mind controls everything. The mind is the one that will motivate or will cause the speech and the body to act in a particular way. So it is the mind that says, laugh now, or, you know, this is a sincere laugh, or whatever it is, or say that thing, or don't say that thing. Do this thing, do not do this thing. So the body and the speech are like the servants. They have to obey what the mind decides, what the mind says. Yeah? So this is what it is. We say that body and speech are under the control of mind, and then the mind is under the control of afflictions. And because it is under the control of afflictions, all we do is we create non-virtuous karma, and the result of that is pervasive composite suffering. So as long as this is the order of things, then there is no way we can escape or we can have any happiness in samsara.
Mm-hmm.
So when we talk about the pervasive compounded suffering, we give the five aggregates as the prime example and as the basis that demonstrates that. Why? Because the five aggregates can be reduced down to two things, body and mind. And from within this, the body is under the control of the mind. But then the mind is under the control of afflictions. So how, for however long this is the hierarchy that we have, we are just going to experience one type of suffering after the other. So that's why we say five aggregates is the basis that perfectly demonstrates the pervasive compounded suffering. We continue with the next verse, verse 231. Why teach non-violence and wonder about conditions for a permanent self? A diamond never has to be protected against woodworm. So verse 231 again shows what invalidates the belief in the permanent self. Okay, so what happens here is we are giving this as a response to an opponent. What does the opponent believe? They believe that on one hand the self is permanent, but on the other hand, they say, please give me teachings, Dharma teachings, so that can, by practicing those teachings, I can obtain liberation from samsara. So on one hand, they say it's permanent. On the other hand, I can achieve liberation by relying on the teachings. So we want to highlight the contradiction in this. So for the first two lines, he says, why teach non-violence and wonder about conditions for a permanent self? So the first part, you know, the non-violence, it refers to teachings of Dharma on non-violence in order to escape, you know, accumulating negative karma and following to the law of migrations and so forth. And on the other hand, we have the permanent self. So it says, why, once you put those things together, what's the point of wondering, you know, how to actually, how do they work together? And the verb there, why wonder, means, can't you see the contradiction? So for we say to them, can't you see the contradiction? These two things are so obviously contradictory, so we are not going to accept this position.
Takde wali naba kundi shingzinle doji sunze mijubusa dite. Takakwa da kese takakwa ina. Naba kundu. Necha yomara. Nenye yomara. Takakwa la. Kowa da nyesun du nengi nyeya la sowa. Dike yomara da takwa yomara. Dita da chidu chwe che goya yomara da takwa ina. Takwa temba da. Kola neji kaya yomara. Pena. Pesa. Naba kundu shinsele doji sunze mijubusa. Da takwa ina. Tela ta. Tukdang, chana sobe, naba tanjiru da, nyesha yoma desu. Fena da, nyewe tokwa mewe da, zegi doji nisi, naba kunduye shingi simbule, ane sungjara mikiwa, sungnu goba shinusu.
So, we say that if actually, if you believe in the, if you really believe that the self is permanent, you don't have to worry about anything, because the permanent self cannot be harmed by anything. So the permanent self is not going to be harmed by the suffering of samsara or the suffering of the lower migrations. So why worry? Why do you want teachings? Why do you want to practice? And a permanent self, you know, why are you talking about conditions that perhaps will be favorable for the self to obtain liberation from samsara? If it's permanent, it's permanent. Like nothing is going to affect it. And then it gives the analogy here of the diamond. Right, so it says a diamond never has to be protected against woodworm. So is the worm ever going to eat away the diamonds? It's unheard of. Diamonds are not affected by anything like this. So we don't need to protect them from that. So if the self was permanent, why would you worry about all those other things? All right, we continue with the next verse, and now we're going to have two or three verses where the argument is shifting, and they're trying to prove a permanent self because they say that we have memory, or then they change the position, we don't have memory, and so forth. Anyway, it has to do with memory, whether memory can be used as the proof that establishes a permanent self or not. So the next verse says 232, if your self is permanent because of remembering other lives, how can your body be impermanent when you see a scar previously formed? So the proof or the reason that the opponent is trying to use is actually something which is very common to us as well. Because many times on the basis of memory of past events that we have, we develop this idea that, look, I existed back then because I have all these memories and I continue to exist up to now, and that creates an idea that I have a permanent self. There is something that continues and is permanent. So we say, you know, I remember when I was young and we went to school, and at school we had different activities, like we had play days and, you know, theater and dancing, and other days we played games and so forth. So you remember these events, early in your life, then you remember other events later in your life, and here you are now in the present. So you say, because of my memory, I can see that that establishes, it helps me establish the idea that the self is permanent. So that's the what we're trying to refute here.
다 미다 보이나 소다
So the reason why they hold this idea of a permanent self is because they say, look, if we hold the opposite position, which is that the self is impermanent, that would be devastating because, you know, impermanent means it deteriorates momentarily. So they say, you know, every moment that if it is impermanent, it is produced, and within that moment, it is destroyed. And that is very short. If you are destroyed now, this moment, what memories do you have? Of what? You're finished. Actually, you don't live long enough, right? You don't even become old. You don't live long enough to have memory of another thing. So this is, if you're going to tell me that the self is impermanent, deteriorates momentarily, there are many things that are affected, not just you're not getting old, you will have no memory of what, things like attaining the state of enlightenment, you know, how you're going to attain this in a moment, then it has many consequences. So they say, no, we are going to hold the position that the self is permanent.
근데 상대하고마다나 이거지 참 사우를 주셨다. 이건 같이 치료를 이거 나오를 주. 이제 치료 주시게 제게면 캡슐을 딱 치료백이 남발라고 캡슐을 이제 시에 믿어서 이게 신을 찍나. 그냥 이게 내 윤대스는 이제 겨우나 쉽게 되시고 다 타받은 데 주고 고만페 남 리버 망고 되네 이제 보고 능고 쉬우지 시기도 이제라 같이 해야 됐을 것 같다. 치료백이가. 근데 상대하고마다나 오 이베스를 줘야 된다. 이직은 위험합니다. 그래서 이직으로 이거 같이 해야 돼. 타바던 제주면 보면 남은 정말 남기 정말 짐내야 따셔, 파이셔. 아니 간단한 시에 간단한 제약해야 돼.
Okay, so actually, listen carefully because unless we think very carefully how we're going to respond this, this seems to be like a very good argument because the consequences of this argument is this. They say, what's the matter with you Buddhists? On one hand, you say that everything is impermanent and deteriorates momentarily. On the other hand, you come here and you give me a presentation of past and future lives. You give me a presentation of cause and then future results. You give me a presentation of enlightenment and you tell me that there are so many stages in the path that you have to follow to reach that state of enlightenment. So they say these presentations are actually contradictory. How are you going to do all this if you deteriorate just this minute, momentarily? What's the point of teaching all that? Actually, they say they would not, you would not be able to remember anything in a minute. So what's all this Buddhist presentation that you give me?
So Geshe-la has a question. So they would not subscribe, these opponents, to karma, to having karmic imprints of the mind, to having a subtle, you know, level of mind. so they don't subscribe to anything.
No, they're not talking about karma.
I know they are.
Just they're talking about only one moment.
Yeah.
1 second. Even it's more subtler than second. One moment in the Mayana point of view, one can divide one moment into 360 or something. Mm. And the Hinayana point of view, the one moment divided into 65. Even the scientist's point of view, one can divide even more than that. Mm. One moment, one can divide through a computer. Long period division. Mm. So one from the division, one moment is the subtlest moment of the time.
Mm.
Yeah?
Mm.
So that moment can't do anything.
Mm.
So
They say that the whole thing is pointless if you're accepting permanence, because the moment, here we're talking about the smallest limit of time, is so short that there is no abidance. So if there's no duration, if it doesn't stay, you know, it's immediately, the moment it's produced, that second moment is destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
They say, what's the purpose? What can you do? It's not long enough. It's too short.
Yeah. But this, the lack of understanding of the impermanence, mm-hmm. actually, this argument is the lack of understanding of impermanence. So therefore, they can raise this kind of questions. Yeah, within one can't do anything. So continuation of we will talk later. So then, how about then? Then this is just the show.
Okay, let's give the answer and then we explain it more.
Later, okay?
More
discussion.
We have a bit of time.
Okay.
<Is it? laughs>
Talk about them. So what I'm going to do is to keep the keep the that that last thing then because share how
As I say here, the opponent has to choose whether they're going to believe that the self is permanent or impermanent. And they say, if we're going to accept that it is impermanent, it's going to be too short. And if it's going to be too short, there will be no memory whatsoever. It will be too short to have any memory. So therefore, they say, we opt for saying that the self is permanent. We say the self is permanent because we have memory. And they say, not only do we have memory of this life, but there are many people who have memories of their past lives, right? Past and future lives. There are people who are like this. And they come up with a particular example also. And they say, for example, there is a person in one particular life that was killed when someone attacked them with a knife. Right, so someone put a knife in their body, and due to the wound that they had at that point, they bled to death and they died. All right, so then in the next life, that being is reborn as a human, and it's a human who actually has memory and can go back and say, oh, I remember at that time in my past life, this person attacked me with a knife, and it's exactly here where they press me with. And sometimes they can almost have either like a little scar or a birthmark where the wound was from the previous life. So they have that memory. So they say, because we have instances of this memory, we're going to say that the self is permanent. These memories prove to us that the self is permanent. Okay, so our response here, the response that we give in all the cases, but this is very clear here, is a response that takes into consideration the argument, the specific position, and the specific example here that the opponent has given, all right? So we say, if yourself is permanent because of remembering other lives, how can your body be impermanent when you see a scar previously formed? So we say to them, you believe that the self is permanent because there is memory, the self remembers previous life, all right? So you're using memory of previous life to say that the one who remembers is a permanent entity. And then we say, use this, you should have the same reasoning and the same logic and say that your body also is permanent, because look, your body remembers that incident, because your body has a birthmark, which is like the remembering the previous scar that they had in that previous life. So it's as if your body has memory of that injury. So then you should, by following the same reasoning, you should reach also the position that the body is permanent. But you don't believe that the body is permanent, do you? You wouldn't want to reach that conclusion. That's an unwanted conclusion. Okay, so we say there, if you use the same reasoning, you reach a position that is untenable.
The 밀라 마스터 제발 밀리안 답변 좀 해라. 탈주에서 내가 원하는 거였어.
So to summarize, if you say that because I remember previous rebirth, then that makes the self permanent, then it would logically follow that the body that also remembers previous scars would have to be permanent as well, and that is unwanted. Okay, so we have covered this couple of verses, and there's quite a lot of discussion, if you want, or, you know, debate, but really discussion to understand what are these verses all about. So the first thing that we have to look at is this position of the opponent, that they say the self has to be permanent, because otherwise we, you know, if it is impermanent, there's not enough duration to do anything. So let's see how they reach that position. What's going on in their mind? So they're thinking, on one hand, we have this presentation of rebirth. So we go from one life to the other. But actually, it takes quite a long time to go through one life, to die, then to start another life, and so on and so forth. We also have the presentation of how we enter within samsara and we experience this result and that suffering, and then we practice in a particular way and we reverse the cycle and then we exit. Again, these are things that take quite a long time. So they say, for us, it makes sense that the self or the person must be very stable. If you don't have a stable self, how are they going to experience all that? All those things take quite a long time. And then they say, okay, if you don't want to bring into past and future lives and entering samsara and exiting samsara, forget those things. Just in the duration of this life, from the moment that we are born up to now, whatever is your age, you have done thousands of activities. You have gone through different phases. You went to preschool, you went to school, you graduated from school, and so on and so forth. Okay? So they say, if yourself was not stable, durable enough, you would not be able to experience all those things. There will be no time to do all those things. So this is how they form this idea that you need a stable self here. And stable means
permanent.
So, on one hand, you can see how they formulate their own idea. On the other hand, they also wish to be antagonistic towards the Buddhists, right? Because the core Buddhist idea is that about impermanence and that things momentarily disintegrate. And they say, you know, this is like meaningless position. How could things be impermanent and degenerate like this? You wouldn't have time to do anything. None of these things would apply. So, on one thing, they have their own beliefs, right? On the other hand, they also want to criticize the Buddhist position.
Mm-hmm. 今年早晚的也准备了才能买吧，或云也过，几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几个几 and then go mash it on and then meet up a kitchen in the journalism. The mother, meet up a sweet cheese, or kitchen cheese, and that or kitchen cheese, and that parasna could kill you or kill it or kitchen cheese. Yet tell them to jig it or the kitchen cheese. Kill it or kitchen cheese and good beauty, and that or do you have a different mom?
Now, what is our position? Our position is that, okay, we can see they're criticizing, but they're saying these things because they don't have a full idea or a good comprehension of what impermanence is. Okay, they say that impermanence is momentary disintegration. And this is true, but this is not all that impermanence is, because at the same moment we have two activities taking place. We have the production and the destruction. Mm-hmm. And again, production and destruction, production and destruction. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, the destruction of the first moment, at the same time that, you know, we have the destruction, that facilitates the production of the second moment. And as soon as you have production, you have disintegration. But that disintegration will then bring about the production of the third moment. So in every moment, we have two activities simultaneously taking place. And because they happen, you know, one right after the other, we have a continuum. It's not that you reach the state of disintegration and everything stops. Because if that happened, then it will become non-existent. But as soon as it is destroyed, it is produced as well. So for us, it doesn't stop there. It's just a continuity. So we say they have not understood impermanence fully, because impermanence actually implies a continuum, whereas they just talk about momentary disintegration. So Gisha was saying, you know, when we were kids, that you could do your own like little animation. So on every page of the book, you paint a different phase of movement, and then you flick all the pages, and you can see the whole thing animated and moving. So this is what impermanence is all about. And also when we see a movie, right? There's a film, I mean, anyway, these days, it's called computer, but there used to be the celluloid, which is turning around, right? Isn't it?
Yeah.
And if it stops, then the movie stops. Mm. But the thing is, it keeps going, and that's why we see the whole movie developing, the whole story.
Mm.
Another good example for subtle impermanence is electricity, because it's the same principle. It is momentarily it is destroyed, but it is also generated. We know that it is destroyed because every moment that is completed, finished and destroyed, there's a unit, and those units are added up, and this is how we get our bill, right? So we know it is destroyed because we have done so many units and we have to pay the money. But at the same time, we're not staying in the dark because it is regenerated and we have the light shining. So you can see that with this momentary disintegration, we have the destruction that then brings about the generation. And this creates a continuum. So a previous moment becomes the substantial cause for the next moment, which is the substantial result of that cause. And that becomes the cause again for another result. So the thing is that when we talk about subtle impermanence, one might ask, what is the cause that brings about this destruction, this degeneration? But in the case of subtle impermanence, we don't need to identify another external cause of destruction. When we talk about impermanence on a gross level, we identify an external force that destroys something. So, for example, you have a vase. When you say that the vase is broken, it's because someone came with a hammer and attacked your vase, right? So it's an external cause that brings about the destruction of the vase. This is for gross impermanence, but for subtle impermanence, we don't need to have an external form. Why? Because what brings about the generation is the disintegration itself. The nature of that disintegration is to act to bring about the generation or the rebirth of that thing. So there's no other separate cause. The degeneration itself is the cause for the rebirth, the rebirth, and the birth of the production becomes the cause for that disintegration as well. All right. Now, if we were to accept that things were permanent, it would not be like this. It would either have to be constantly destroyed, destroyed forever, or it would have to be constantly generated. Forever young, you know. Mm-hmm. But you know that's the position we will reach.
Mm-hmm. 나 참을 산다는 추억이다고 참을 산다는 건 뭐 거의 끼지끼지 한다 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 퍼거래 퍼거 시원하게 아 퍼거래 그다음 눈치 잘해 뭐 눈이 지지가 한다 수업에 잡아보라 시위 잡아치고 그랬어 한다 말씀도 시위 인상이 한다 어 시원한 어 시원한 마시고 취해 마실 것이는 뒤로 말했어 시원한 마시면 뒤로 말 수업에 잡아보라 시위 잡아치고 그랬어 인제 나가고 수업에 잡아보라 어 시위 잡아치고 말도 그 딱과 땡과 수업에 잡아 수업 마시 매워 수업 없거나 끼지끼지 시위 시위 잡아치래 한다 미다가 사는 땅 누가 사는 사는 땅인지 어 그 끼지끼지 한다 아니 시월 년 누가 한다 그래서 누 그거 이제 산대치 그 끼지끼지 그 시월 시월 년 누가 시대스 손에 잡아 대지가 있어
so the, as we say, when we consider impermanence on a gross level, usually we give the example of death. And when we discuss death, usually we give a cause, a reason. What has caused the death of that person? We say maybe it was an illness, it was a car accident, it was this, it was that. So we identify an external cause. But in the case of subtle impermanence, you don't need to find such a specific, separate external cause. The production itself is the cause of disintegration, right? We, during the retreat, Geshe-la was quoting again from Aradeva, there is this other verse that says, the activity of being alive is to bring about death. And this actually is a reference to subtle impermanence. Like, don't look for another cause of death. The fact that you're alive every minute is bringing about your death. That's the only activity, the only function that it has to bring about your death. It was, and again that example from the retreat, like the animals, like the sheep or something that are taken to the butcher to be killed. Every step they take just brings them closer to their death. So being alive, it says, you know, don't hold anything as being permanent or think there's any stability. The fact that you're alive leads you to your death.
I'm going to say that. 계진 겨 정해진 줄 알아. 아니 겨 정해 겨 그래서 제일 다나 아니 그 파마님아 대님도 멋지네. 겨 그 겨나면 꼴 파마시찬. 겨나면 뭐 멋신. 딱 상마 그 무엇을 밑으니 그게 그 라다단 그 딱 그 쇼지 그 두주단 너무 두주단 쇠를 그 때를 때문에 때네. 아니 뒤꼴라 그 남백이 인생 가래 가래 거니 계획이 와. 인생도 많이 시 그나 신경을 열다 단지는 근데 뭐 등을 이리 아주 시에스 아무도
Yeah. All right, so guess what we're saying. Okay, so we have talked about the argument about momentary disintegration and impermanence. The other argument we had here is that because we remember past lives, they use that as an argument to say because of that the self has to be permanent. So Geshe-la was saying in one of the VI conferences, and Beth would remember this, Geshe-la actually talked about that. There was a discussion about past and future lives. So Geshe-la was part of the panel together with other scientists, and you know, basically there are five arguments that establish that, the existence of past and future lives, and they... Not arguments, reasons, five main reasons, and they all have to do with mind and awareness. Anyway, Geshe-la was saying in the same panel, there was this other scientist that he had made a movie and also wrote a book about cases of many people who had actually remembered their past rebirth. And so, for example, they would say, you know, I was living there, and this was my mother, this was my father. So they would have their present father and mother and the ones of the previous life. So as if two were not enough, they had four. And, you know, this person had gone there and interviewed, you know, how come you remember? And, you know, they really try to verify the facts that it's not a fantasy that I remember, but this is where I was living, this was my mother, my father, all this documented very well. Okay, so that's the introduction.
What's the book name? Do you remember?
Jim Tucker, but I think it was the person who came to our conference, but I think Ian Stevenson
he's
past life.
He composed a book as well as
the book.
Yeah.
He filmed.
I think
past
life. Every interview where he went all around the world.
Yeah.
Yeah. So first you go to Asia, and all interviewed the children who remember past life.
Yeah.
Then people may think that this is Asian because of Asian culture. Yes, no, it's not. Then he went to another Europe, United States. Prove that it's not Asian culture.
Yeah.
Even in Europe, it happened, or United States, it happened. So every interview he filmed, the document he made film. So
I think Ian Stevens.
If you have time, you can watch it.
Okay.
Yeah, that would be cool. Yeah, yeah, next Tuesday.
So now, what? Well, what point is, what I'm going to say is, that conference, you know, I explained the main reason of five reasons. There are lots of reasons. I presented the main major of five reasons. What's the reason we believe past and future lives? So during that panel discussion, someone who will stand up and ask questions, of course there's lots of questions. He asked this birthmark.
Birthmark, yes.
So when we only discussing only mind, so I'm only discussing the subtle level of the mind, which I would like to lie because of this and that reason, so I made five main reasons, subtle level of mind. So the body is never traveled to my like to lie. So then, what about he's talking about where it came from? Birthmark is a difficult question. Very difficult, birthmark. So then there are some discussions we discussed with other things, but we couldn't answer properly because it's very difficult, birthmark. So of course, when we talk about the mark, suddenly it has to be cause and condition. Without cause and condition, you can't get mark on our body, something or crash.
Yeah.
Crash or scratch, or something
cut.
You can get marked.
Yeah.
So these are the causes of the mark is crash.
Yeah.
Or somewhere. So there are causes and conditions. Now here, I think when you talk about that kind of birthmark, so very subtle level of the causes or karma. So that is very difficult to answer. Very subtle level of the karma we are talking about. Something specific causes of that birthmark. Of course, previous life, there is a
So the whole, this is very difficult here, this argument of the birthmark that it is related to an injury of a previous life. Okay, so when you are in the life in which you are injured, you develop a scar. Okay, now we're looking for the cause of the scar, and that is very easy to establish. You have a scar there because, let's say, a sharp object like a knife pierced your flesh. Okay, so that piercing by the knife is the cause that caused you to have to develop a scar. Okay, but that was in that life. Now you have taken another rebirth. Okay, but the thing is that that body that had the actual scar that was pierced by the knife, it's not that the body moves along, right? Now you have a new body. So how come the new body has a birthmark in a similar position? Okay, so we have to say that it must have a cause, and it is a subtle level of karma. Like, we cannot really say why the new body in the new rebirth has a birthmark. Okay, so the previous body had a scar, that's easy to explain, but the birthmark is difficult to explain in another life.
Mm-hmm. So in both, there's some level of karma, something. So this is very difficult to answer. Also, the giving example here also, the cha, kongwa yawa, then the sai kongwa. Sai kongwa wawa la kongwa ma la shosha.
Okay, and to clarify the issue, we have an example of, it's an example of something which is really amazing when you hear it. Okay, it's a cultural example, actually comes up further up in one of the verses. And you say, we have a situation like this. You have a house, inside the house you have a bowl of yogurt, okay, on the table. Now, there is a bird that comes and lands on the roof of the house. The bird does not come inside the house, okay? So the bird is outside and the yogurt is inside. And then after a while we see the imprint of the foot of the bird on the surface of the yogurt. Okay, and we say, now, how would that thing happen? Because the bird has not come in. The bird has not landed on the yogurt. So what is it? How was that done? Well, it must have a cause, right? So, between the bird landing on the roof and the yogurt, the surface of the yogurt being undisturbed underneath, and then and footprint appearing on that surface of the yogurt, there must be some subtle cause that we don't know, we don't understand. Like, it's an amazing thing, but it can happen. So this is what we're talking here about, the birthmarks. There is a cause there somewhere. We don't know what it is, but it happens.
I still can't understand.
Which one?
The example with the bird.
The explanation. I want to have the explanation, the answer of how the imprint of the bird's, you know,
the birthmark?
Yeah, it can be there on the yogurt.
Oh.
you're giving an example, but...
Example of, we don't know. Amazing.
Okay, but I know, but how are you going to explain to the scientist that is with you when they ask you this question? That means there is no answer to that.
No, it's difficult. It's very difficult. There is subtlest level of the karma involved, one can say. So, like something like the feather of the peacock, it's many colors.
Yeah.
Each of the single color, what is the cause of this color and that color? We don't know.
Of course we don't know, because they're being born like that.
Yeah, very subtle. So, so we need to achieve the understanding or the realization, that level, in order to explain that. So something that in kindergarten students can't explain whatever question in the high school or the university level of the questions. So unless the student, kindergarten student, reach that their level, university level, then they can explain what the question of the university level.
Okay.
So at the moment,
still in kindergarten.
So it's definitely with the karma, it's involved here. We don't know which karma, what kind of karma. We don't know.
But there's nothing to do with the memory in your consciousness, of what happened in a past life. And then when you come back, because of that pain or that thing that happened to you, then the imprint in your consciousness.
Memory is also fine, we can easy to understand. Also, it's one of the reasons, there are many reasons, five major reasons. So memory is one of the reasons to establish the present future lives. So that's fine. So when you talk about memory, it's talking about mind.
Yes.
So the birthmark, we're talking about the form.
But because of your memory, you cannot get rid of that scar.
Actual sign you're talking about.
Yes,
but memory.
I thought you can, because of that so deeply, ingrained it in your consciousness, and then you bring that scar actually with you into this life. Just like how we were being born, how we look, right? It's because of our karma as well, isn't it? Therefore, that's how I feel. But
isn't the form from the parents? Our form has been created by the parents. So if we choose our parents, we might choose the parents that give that defect, like a person who's born with six fingers. It's a defect, like a birthmark. So we choose the parents that might have the faulty genetics, because that's our karma, maybe?
Can be. You can guess all sort of.
Okay. Therefore, no matter what, it's because we still haven't reached there that we can understand.
We don't know exactly.
We don't know exactly, but we can guess. A lot of guessing here.
Okay, we are done. Thank you.
Thank you.
So, dedication prayers, page 36. Yeah.